Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I'm going to tell you something. My guest is so red hot for the Messiah that even if you don't read his books and get his tapes, it's going to just pour out of the tapes and out of the radio right now. Now, Steve, on yesterday's broadcast, we found out that a man I'm very familiar with, Carlos Anacondia from Argentina. I mean, this guy has had such miracles and such deliverances and so many people saved. And you walked up and you gave him a hand signal to hit me on the forehead. And he hit you and a ton of God's power was deposited in you. And you haven't been the same since. But just out of curiosity, you went out for just a meeting at the Brownsville Church in Pensacola, Florida, and that turned into a meeting in which over 4 million people attended because there was such power radiating all over that congregation. People were saved in amazing numbers. You were telling me that even the school system was affected. Tell me about that.
Oh, they would call us because kids were falling out under the power in the hallways, and one principal had several kids laid out in his office, and they had the paramedics there trying to resuscitate them with oxygen. And, you know, the bottom line is God was moving, Sid, and I'm gonna fast forward just a little bit because a revival is, it's a move of God. It has nothing to do with a building, okay? You go back to Azusa right now, and it's a parking lot. Okay, it had nothing to do with the building. It has to do with the Spirit of God. And so the revival moved, God touched, and it went on for years and years and years. Later, I moved on. My wife and I moved on. We worked in, we had previously, after we worked in Argentina for 7 years, let me back up a second, worked for there for 7 years. We went to Russia, planted a church. We had planted 12 churches in Argentina, built an orphanage. And I'm not bragging. This is just what young people do when they're on fire. And then I read in a magazine about a move of God in England. I read in Time magazine, so I went over there and had Sandy Miller pray for me at the Anglican Church. And if there's a move of God, Sid, I've always gone after it, okay? If you told me that there's a 12-year-old girl in a certain town that God is using mightily and there's signs and wonders, I would go. I would go. If it was legitimate, I would go to receive a touch from God, period. And so people say, well, if God's going to move, he'll come to our church and move, whatever. Whatever. Why don't you do both? Why don't you pray that he comes to your church, and why don't you go after him also?
Well, you know, that is a hunger. Help me out. I have this hunger, but I don't know how to answer this. How can someone listening to us right now have that kind of hunger for God?
Well, it's not that difficult. And what we try to do is manufacture some type of relationship with Jesus. You either know him or you don't. And the way you know him is you ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. And right now, anyone who doesn't know Jesus, anyone that doesn't know Yeshua, they, you don't know the Lord, you can pray right now and say, Jesus, forgive me. I have sinned. Wash me. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, my very best friend. And it's not the length of your prayer, my friend. It is the quality of your prayer. And so I have a relationship with Jesus, and he knows that he can download into my spirit anything because I love him. And if you love him, Sid, the Bible says you'll do what he asks you to do. And this, you look at America. The reason we're so messed up in the United States of America in the Western church is because we say we love him, but we don't follow him. And so that's probably a whole nother broadcast.
Tell me, I want you to pick one out of the thousands, if not tens of thousands of miracles that you saw in Pensacola. I want you to pick one and tell me about it.
Well, you're being difficult now, and because I don't talk about miracles unless they're validated. And so so we spend time validating. And one particular miracle, which astounded me, and, you know, people were always coming up, Sid, with x-rays before and after and all this. And, you know, I'd say glory to God. And in Spanish, I'd say gloria a Dios, and Dios hizo algo maravilloso, glory to God. He's done something marvelous. But there was this one girl who came, Sid, and she was consumed with cancer, 15 years old, wearing a baseball cap, skinny as a rail, probably weighed, I don't know, 80 pounds. And she was dying. And she was sent to us by a particular organization that let people that are dying, let kids that are dying have their last request. And she decided, rather than go to Disney World or somewhere like that, she decided to come to the Brownsville Revival. And remember, we had been on CNN, Good Morning America, and, you know, just Newsweek, and it goes on and on. And so people were being hit by this revival from all angles. It wasn't just a Christian-sponsored thing. God was moving. And so she told her parents she wanted to come down here. The organization okayed it. They came down, and this was one of the only times I ever made a show as far as bringing someone forward. But God really spoke to me and said, we need to pray for her publicly. We did. Prayed for her publicly, said. And 2 weeks later, I received a letter, and this is back before emails. I received a letter from her father saying that they had had the MRIs, the PET scans, all the investigative work done on her, and that she was cancer-free. Well, fast forward years, okay, that was back in 1998. Okay, here we are years later, okay, several years later, way after the miracle, we contacted her, and my secretary had her number, contacted her. She had moved out west. She was totally clean of cancer. She had graduated from a university, and she gave God all the glory for touching her. So, you know, miracles like that, Sid, we should not be surprised. And right now, if there's somebody that you're going, my God, why won't that happen to me? It can happen to you, my friend. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm believing God for a healing touch in your body. I'm believing God to raise you up. Cancer, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no authority over this man, over this woman, over this child. In Jesus' name, we bind you. In Jesus' name, we speak healing in Jesus' name.
Steve, I believe people all over the world are being healed at this moment, but I have to take you to a point. May 2011, you've seen people healed all over the world. You're on your deathbed. In 2001, they discovered melanoma. It had metastasized, there was really no hope, but you went to everyone you knew. You were as hungry to be healed, obviously. You're a young man. You're everything you've been trained for is for this moment. And you know that it's not God's will. You're going to die, but you get worse and worse and worse. And May 2011, you're on your deathbed. What happened?
Well, for those of you that are experiencing the tormenting effects of cancer, or you know somebody. I've never met a family that doesn't know about cancer. Somebody's a friend, a neighbor. And what happened to me was I had many, many, many chemotherapies. And I'm not going to go through them, Sid, in this broadcast, but some of them lasted 9 months. One particular chemotherapy, they would tie men with straps to the bed because the influx of the poison, which that's poison, chemo is poison, would cause them to violently shake and throw the bed over. And anyway, I went through 9 months of that, and then 8 months of another one, and 7 months of another one, and finally my body gave up. And I was at the point where it was over, and the authorities came into my room. They looked at me, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I could barely talk. And I didn't know my wife's name. I called her George. And I'd look straight at her and call her George. I'd lost everything. And I knew it was over for me. And the doctors told my wife that that I've got a few days and to go ahead and make preparations. So she bought two burial plots, one for her, one for me. And she planned my funeral in the room I'm sitting in right now. She planned my funeral and wept because of the man she had been married to for three decades was dying. And now the authorities who know all about the physical body was saying it's over. There's nothing more that can be done. And I turned to her and I said, Jerry, I'm going to die. So take me off everything. Just take me off everything. And I know it's going to be violent, but take me off every drug because they had me on drugs. Everything shut down, Sid. My liver, my kidneys, everything stopped. And I'm not going to get graphic with the audience, but it was horrible. It was horrible. And she slowly weaned me off the medication. And we're talking about a period of many, many, many horrific months. But God slowly worked a miracle, and the staff would come in, and they'd help me walk a few feet. I couldn't walk 50 feet. And slowly but surely, God began to restore me. And I can't put a finger on when it happened. All I know is that God touched me. Now, am I still dealing with cancer? Yeah, I still have some effects, and I don't know what's going on. But let me tell you, I live a full life. I work from 14 to 18 hours a day. I preach. I laid hands the other day on at least 800 people.
I don't know if I could do that, Steve. Steve, our time is up, but Mishpocha, trust me on this. How would you like this man to personally mentor you on the Miraculous? Five CDs, Operating the Miraculous by Steve Hill, and his brand new book, not even in the bookstores yet, Spiritual Avalanche, subtitled The Threat of False Teaching That Could Destroy Millions. And I'm going to tell you something. This book you must read. And we have a bonus, a special DVD called Spiritual Avalanche that was recorded at our television show, available for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.